I'm going to pass on now to Nikki Schisler, who's a journalist, a mother and a campaigner, who's been enormously helpful to protest already. And we look forward to working with her more in the future.
Thank you. Which one am I speaking into? Okay, I've got a loud voice, so... can everybody hear me? Yeah? Okay. I wanted to be here today to offer a very personal perspective on medical research that uses animals. I'm not a scientist, but in recent years I've made it my business to educate myself and to speak to research scientists from laboratories all around the world. You see, my youngest son, my seven-year-old, has a rare form of muscular dystrophy called nemaline myopathy. Felix is profoundly disabled. Many of the bodily functions that most of us take for granted, breathing, swallowing, talking, walking, he needs help with. He uses a wheelchair, a ventilator, he's tube-fed, and he has an electronic communication device which allows him to speak. Despite these difficulties, Felix is a happy and bright little boy in mainstream education, and I have absolutely no doubt that should he make it to adulthood, he will have much to offer the world. The first year of his life was extremely difficult. His identical twin, Theo, didn't make it to his first birthday. And even now, Felix is classified as medically fragile. He remained in Great Ormond Street until he was finally able to come home at 18 months. The bald truth is, we don't know how many years we will get with our son. So for families like mine, arguments about medical research strike at the very heart of our life. This, for me, is not a philosophical debate. It is deeply personal. Before Felix and Theo were born, child death was something for me, like I hope most of you, that was remote and invisible. Doctors were infallible. There was heartwarming stories of miracle babies in the papers. Then my twins were born, and I crossed a line. And I crossed a line into a world where children do die, where doctors don't always win. I've now lost count of the number of children I've known have died. But I can tell you, I know many, many more who haven't. I've also lost count of the number of times I've stood at the foot of a bed in an intensive care unit, praying that my child would make it through the night, desperately watching for the first signs that would tell me the antibiotics had started to kick in. We are all at our most vulnerable through our children, and as any parent will tell you, a critically ill child brings you a fear like nothing else. These days, Felix is pretty stable, at least in the summer months. But I know that we are never more than a heartbeat away from the next crisis. So for me, knowing that in labs around the world, a handful of scientists are working to find a cure for my son's condition brings me enormous comfort. It gives me hope. And as the story of Pandora's Box tells us, hope is enough to fight all the evils in the world. It's the light to guide us on our very darkest days. But this is not just about Felix. Realistically, I know that any cure is likely to come too late for him. But NM is a genetic condition. It may be carried by my other children. A cure may never save my son, but it might save my grandchild. It might mean another family doesn't have to suffer the losses that we have. But I know with absolute certainty that whether it's in my family or in others, lives will be saved. For anyone dealing with currently incurable conditions, terminal illness, or watching a loved one slide into dementia, medical research gives us the strength to carry on. I have heard people argue that this research is unnecessary, that today we have computer models and cellular research, that the use of animals is outdated and unhelpful, that you cannot extrapolate from animals to humans. I think the talk on AIDS told us that that wasn't true, and I suspect the victims of bird flu would feel the same. This is simply not true. With my son's condition, I've spoken to some of the key scientists in labs from Finland to Australia and the US. There is great progress being made into all sorts of conditions at the moment, NM amongst them. The Human Genome Project, which has been mentioned, the work on stem cells, is producing very exciting results. Some forms of NM can now be cured in a test tube. Previously, abnormal cells can be made healthy. It's not enough. The scientists now have to find a way to deliver that cure to every affected cell in the body, to have it replicate and persist. For this, there is no substitute for a living, breathing organism. No computer program can ever hope to copy the complexity of even the simplest mammal. And so, when there is no other choice, when all other avenues reach the limit of their usefulness, science turns to animal testing. Of course, this isn't just about people like Felix and those with serious and chronic conditions. Every one of us benefits from animal research every day. Every time we take a painkiller, every time we vaccinate a child, every day in a thousand ways, we take for granted the safety of products and medicines that we use and rely on. And we can do that because of animal research. When I decided to speak on the first protest demonstration in support of the Oxford Lab, a number of my friends advised me against making a public stand. Didn't I realise how dangerous and unreasonable some animal rights extremists could be? What about my safety? What about the safety of my children? I understood their concerns, and I will admit to a few anxious moments on the journey to Oxford. But I also know that it is precisely because I care about the safety of my children that I know how important this research is. I want my children to grow up in a world where they are offered increasing protection from deadly diseases. I want to know that I will live to see their children and hopefully their grandchildren. And I know that for my children, as for all of us, much of that protection is going to come from labs like the one being built in Oxford. Last year, the Hall family were, after years of horrific harassment, finally pushed to the point where they felt no longer able to continue with their business breeding guinea pigs for research. The final straw, as I'm sure all of you know, was the theft of a corpse. The Hall family, unsurprisingly, had had enough. When I heard they'd been made to close, I felt first shock. Surely these people just do what they do. Then I was angry, and then I felt ashamed. I felt ashamed that I'd done nothing to prevent it. For months, the press had been reporting the trials of the Halls, and yet, like most people, I just assumed they would carry on. And then they were crushed. And I saw how we all, had abandoned them, too scared to stand up and fight their tormentors. The work done by medical researchers benefits all of us. Don't ever try to kid yourself that this is not your problem. Anyone who's dealt with cancer, with diabetes, Alzheimer's, antibiotics, vaccines, we're all end users. The scientists who do this work live with threats and risks every day, and we let them. Every time they step into their labs, they do so for us. It is time for us to look out for them. We can and we should be joining together to build a wall around them. We should be standing between those who are trying to help us and those who would stop them. We have to stop leaving the scientific community to fight this battle alone. Thank you.